right. Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are with us today. And we're going to have a great time. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. There we go. Oh, it's always fun to be with you live every single Sunday on this radio station. We are in our fifth year of a show at this time every Sunday, always live. To my right is my good buddy Connie Farmer, actually the director of our counseling department at Beacon of Hope Ministry. And to my left is our incredible drummer of our praise band, Madeline Ercolano. Wow, what a drummer she is. Engineer Bill, you got it. There you go. And don't we have that like drum thing too, right? There we go.
Good job.
Does that sound familiar, Madeline? Make you feel comfortable,
yeah.
Right? All right. Okay. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we're excited about today's show. We're excited because God is moving in so many people's lives, changing us more and more into the image of Jesus, and that is what it's all about. We don't claim to be perfect, but we claim to be seeking the Lord with all of our hearts and trying to learn His purpose for our lives. It's an exciting series we're in right now, my dear friends here. Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God, challenging us to become all we can be in God and use our gifts and our talents to His glory. I guess that's why you're playing drums, to the glory of God. You used to be a rock drummer, didn't you, Madeline?
Oh, yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you did. Back in Alaska, right? Or wherever?
That's correct.
Yes, back in, that's extremes, Bill. You go from Alaska to Florida. That's like the extreme, don't you think?
You know what I have to say about that?
What?
Rup-a-pum-pum.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. And we're just happy about our whole radio team. It's expanding. We've got some new talent, new faces on the radio team. It's exciting. And we're getting ready to have a big, huge anniversary. Bill, get ready with applesauce now. No, not now, but I mean then. I guess I should have said then. So coming up, 4 weeks from today is our, are you ready? Ready for this? Wait. 10-year anniversary. There you go. Yes. As a ministry, 10 years, Beacon of Hope Ministries. And as many of you know, this is 9/11, 2011. And this is the 10-year anniversary today of the awful, awful attack on America that we all suffered, 9/11. And our hearts go out to so many families and friends that lost loved ones during that awful, awful thing that happened to our nation. And there's no words to say, really. I mean, I've been catching this weekend some of the events. I guess there was a big thing yesterday in Pennsylvania at the site of the United 93 going down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They had a big special Friday night. I caught some of that. Today, I haven't been able to, but there's just been a lot of memory, you know, happening this mm-hmm. weekend. Don't you think, Madeline, remembrance, you know, of just, in fact, you probably saw those Twin Towers, didn't you? I mean, you were from Manhattan.
Sure. Since a kid. I mean, we always would, you know, go shopping. They had a large shopping center down below the street level. And they had an incredible restaurant up on the top called Windows on the World. And
really?
It was, yeah, they were, you know, iconic buildings for New York. And, you know, I was a baby when they were being built.
Right.
And I remember that I got to spend the year before, so that was 2000, we actually spent a weekend staying in the hotel right across the street from there. So I went shopping and kind of like had my little last visit with the towers knowing it. Yeah, it was really emotional.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
After the fact, you know.
After the fact.
Realizing, wow.
Amazing.
Something that you take for granted that is not going to go away in an instant.
It's gone.
You know, lives, of course. I don't mean just the buildings, but just seeing them not there brings back all of that, you know, loss of life and terrorism and all that. Just horrible.
Horrible. And I've got to say,
all those feelings that day.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was amazing. They showed yesterday, I think, when President Bush was first told mm-hmm. about what had happened and his reaction and all that. And it, I mean, it was just amazing that our nation has gone through this. It's a huge loss, mm-hmm. you know, for so many lives. And yet we thank God because the leaders did everything they could do, you know, and have continued to do to protect us and our freedoms and do their best, you know, to preserve the freedom that we have here in the United States. So it's just a very difficult time celebrating this 10-year anniversary for the 9/11 catastrophe.
I saw an interesting interview. They interviewed the kids that were in that classroom that day.
Yeah.
Now, they're seniors.
Oh, really?
They're graduating this year, yeah.
Right.
And so they interviewed them, and it was interesting, their whole perspective.
My. Yes, the classroom where President Bush was
yes,
that day.
Yes.
So, you know, with all of the struggles, all the pain, and all the suffering that so many have experienced as a result of that, you know, our strength comes from the Lord, you know, through difficult times, whether it is something that horrendous or if it's something that we're going through right now, each of us in our own individual lives, you know, we need the Lord. And we're going to talk about that today. And that is really the basis for this whole series of Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God, that we each need the Lord in our lives. And especially when you hear some of those accounts of those people who had to have the last phone call with their mate or whatever, how horrible all of that must have been. And different ones talking about the strength that God gave them to get through, you know, and to continue on with their lives. So, you know, we thank the Lord today because we have been 10 years without a terrorist attack on this nation, on our land. And we thank the Lord for the leadership that God has given us. It doesn't make any difference what political party it is, just that we have people in power that are doing their best to keep us safe. And we thank God for that on this 9/11 memorial. And we thank God for the freedom of religion that we experience here in this nation, that we are able to get beyond the air right now and to talk about what God is doing in our lives with freedom, you know, with dignity, with being able to say what God has on our hearts. You know, Madeline, I feel like that is just a huge blessing that we live in a nation that we are allowed that freedom.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of people out there in other countries, probably on our soil that we're not aware of and
sure.
that cannot express how they feel or cannot pursue what they want to pursue for fear of, you know, all kinds of horrible retribution. So
exactly.
it's a blessing. And we're lucky that we can, you know, just like you said, not only pursue it, live it, speak about it.
Yes. And continue one nation under God, you know, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we celebrate that this weekend. And, you know, our hearts and our prayers from Beacon of Hope Ministries go out to the family and friends of so many that lost people in that horrible, horrible tragedy that, hardly there's any words to speak. It's so horrible. Did you have a comment there,
well,
Connie?
And then we have all the families of the soldiers who have been wounded
yes.
defending us.
Yes.
And those that have died
right.
in the name of our freedom.
And you had a good friend at work this week. Her son in the yeah. military was horribly injured. And is he back at Bethesda?
He's stateside.
He's stateside now. Mm-hmm. And his first name is?
Brad.
And he needs serious prayer. He was
yes.
seriously injured this week in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's a lot of people like that out there that are hurting. And so we thank God for the resources that we have in this nation. And we thank God that we can be on the air today in freedom. Let's start out with Bob Carlyle's song, I'm Going to Be Ready.
About anything at all. can't seem to remember. The likes of which I just can't recall.
So how can it be?
And even with the hope we have inside us, still we seem to let those things divide us that don't amount to anything at all. Single precious moment in time. Oh.
When Jesus calls, what will you say?
Oh, I'm here and I'll be yours. And my answer, Lord, is yes. I'm gonna be ready. I wanna be able to answer your every call. Oh, yes, I'm much more than willing.
Bidding out a decent meal to fill them through no fault of their own.
All it takes is simple faith
to turn the situation around. Whoa.
Love can break the strongest chain.
Oh, so I'm here and I'm ready and my heart is safe.
And answer your every call. I'm going to be ready when you call my name. Woo! Hallelujah. That's a great song. I love that. And that just sets the tone for this show today on 9/11/11. It's all about being ready for the call of God on our lives to respond when God says, I need you for this or that. I need you to talk to this one or talk to that one. We're going to start out today. We've got some weapons we're going to talk about. If we're going to be answering the call of God, we've got to understand the appreciation and where the Word of God fits into our lives. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope Ministries is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Why is it so important, Madeline, that we have a knowledge of the Word of God?
Well, it's a resource. It's our armor.
Yes.
It's what we can look to when we're confused, when we need information about what to do with our lives, if we're lost,
right?
If we need, you know, extra guidance,
right?
I may be in a situation where I just don't know what to do, and I want to open my Bible and I want to get information. I want to get in the Word. I want to learn what He wants me to do, and that's going to open me up to hearing Him.
Amen. And Jesus is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And when we open the Bible and we say, okay, God, I want to learn from you. I see the need for that in my life. then it comes alive, doesn't it, Connie? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like you look at some scripture, and sometimes one scripture can really speak to your heart, and another time that scripture maybe doesn't do what it did a few days before, you know, but mm-hmm. it's that fresh word, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it also tells us when we read the Bible and study the Bible, we learn God's heart and
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Learn about Jesus and,
amen.
And what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have situations in your life, it's easier to draw on God when you know
yes.
that he's not the one standing there with a ball bat saying, you
right.
screwed up again, I'm going to knock
right.
you out.
Right.
And so you're more apt to look to the Bible for answers
right.
or just look to the Bible for consoling.
Exactly.
For peace.
Right.
As well as answers. And he's always willing to give us that rhema, that timely rhema word.
Amen.
That we need to hear.
Because it's the word that changes our lives. And as harvest hands, and that scripture comes from Matthew 9, the last few verses of Matthew 9, where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, on your knees and pray for harvest hands. Because he said, the fields are white out there, ready. There are people that are ready to hear the word. And you out there in Radio Land may be one of those today, that your heart has been prepared, the soil of your heart, to hear what God has to say to you today. And I tell you, your victory, your joy, your knowledge of God and his ways and his nature comes from the word. It just does.
Mm-hmm. It's very faith building, you know, for me, when you read, you know, stories of how, especially for me, when, you know, Jesus heals the, you know, the lowest
right.
people who we, you know, society deems lowest.
Right.
And he loves everyone
Amen.
Equally. There is
yes.
no, he doesn't see divisions
right.
in class, in social status, in, you know, financial status. We're all the same.
Exactly.
And that kind of, you know, love and grace, we find so hard to do,
right.
I think, in our lifetime. And we have to, you know, that's what we have to do, is put those blinders on to the things that we think make up a person and
right.
just see a human being with a heart and
Amen.
Love.
Amen. Amen. And that's what harvest hands are all about. People that'll get out there and work and be those hands that Jesus can use, and that mouthpiece and the arms to just, you know, hug people and love on them, you know, and let them feel that love of Jesus. Connie, I can see your thoughts just, your wheels are spinning.
Well, a couple of things. I think it was Wednesday night at Bible study.
Wasn't that a great Bible study?
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
We were all claiming that God loved us the best.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
And that we were his favorite.
Right.
And somebody said, no, I'm his favorite.
Yeah.
It was it me or somebody spoke up and said, I got news for you. God said we're all his favorites.
We are all
and
his
you know,
favorites.
That's,
yes.
That's soothing
amazing.
To people
yeah.
who have never been anybody's favorite.
Right.
And last night we went to Rock the Universe.
Yeah, I know.
And
some of you brave ones did. You and Madeline both went. It's
yeah.
amazing you guys are still awake today because you got home, what, at 3
oh,
or something?
It was
amazing
was
over
so
in Orlando, Universal Studios.
Yeah. One of the coolest parts of the night was Third Day was playing, and they brought on, let's see if I can do this without crying. They brought on this guy from Brazil.
He was okay.
He spoke Portuguese.
All right.
And didn't speak very good English. So he sang, do you remember which song it was?
No.
He sang one of the Third Day songs, but what Mac Powell said was, you know, there are so many people out there across the country, across
yes.
the world
yes.
that are our brother and sister
yes.
that we don't embrace.
Right.
Because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And he said, just listen to this guy sing. Even though you can't understand him, somebody
yes.
can.
Right.
And there were some Brazilians in the audience, and I just thought it was so cool.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then with Casting Crowns, he was just so phenomenal. And, you know, there's nothing like going to a Christian concert
yes.
and be ministered to in between songs.
Yes.
It was just, I mean.
We went to Hillsong. I got to go with you for that
yeah.
one, Hillsong United recently. Boy, that was powerful.
And,
oh.
And Casting Crowns is such a huge, you know, they are just, their music is just fantastic. We use
right.
a lot on the radio.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, he was just so plain and simple.
Right.
You know, he said, I don't want to be on this stage because that's not who I am. I'm right. a dork who loves Jesus and that Jesus loves.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
And he said, and I just have a message to tell people.
Yes. So praise God.
It was really cool.
And what I love about all this new music, this new genre of music, is that it's so word-centered, and it's so centered around the true nature of God. And I just love that in the songs. Mm-hmm. Don't you see that, Madeline? It's just
yeah.
it's refreshing to see that.
Right. They take the word and they make
yes.
it accessible to people that
yes.
may not read their Bibles or
exactly.
don't have access. And what I noticed was there was a huge population of youth groups there last night.
Great.
Because they all were wearing their shirts from where they were coming or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I just thought that's so cool, you know,
yes.
because kids are getting involved early in a positive way through
Amen.
Music,
yes.
which is, you know, another way of learning for people.
Absolutely.
And
mm-hmm.
and it was just neat to see all people there. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of people. I wanted to go online today to see if I could get that information. You know, just united, wanting to be there to hear God's word and share together and Ooh. Just be together, be with other people.
Isn't it great to be with our brothers and sisters? Mm-hmm. I mean, we at Beacon have such a great time, you know, with all the little crazy things that we do and get-togethers and all of these, you know, fun times. But it is just to have people that are on the same place with you in the word and their desire for the word. So look at Psalm 119, verse 161. And these words in the Message Bible, I've been slandered unmercifully by the politicians, but my awe at your words keeps me stable. I think that's an interesting sentence to start with. But my awe at your words keeps me stable. So it's God's word that brings the stability to our lives. I'm ecstatic over what you say, like one who strikes it rich. I think that's pretty cool that we can get that excited about what God says about us, you know, mm-hmm. and to us. And that's what you all were saying. These songs were so clearly God's word and reemphasizing God's heart,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Reassuring. That,
yes.
You know, you hear it in the words and it's just, it's constant faith building. I mean, that's all I feel. I'm, you know, I'm listening to this music and some of it's, you know, it makes you tear up because, you know, like Praise You in This Storm. And
yeah. yes.
it's, you know, it's very emotional,
right.
but you know, the underlying message of all the music is that God is right here for
Amen.
You. He's
Amen.
Always there. He today, yesterday, tomorrow, we're not alone and it's
Amen.
All going to be okay.
Amen. And the one we just played, the Bob Carlisle, I'm mm-hmm. going to be ready to answer the call. You know, that is what God is saying across the world right now. Mm-hmm. He's speaking to people and calling them to be more than they've ever been. He's speaking to our people at Beacon and saying, what is the calling of God on your life? You know, mm-hmm. let's talk about that, you harvest hands. You know, let's find out where you belong in the body of Christ. What are your gifts? What are your talents? Where does God want to use you? And it is really very simple. He just wants to use us on a daily basis in our everyday conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, with people and not be so hung up on saying exactly the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
One of you have a comment to that?
Well, I gave up on trying to say the right thing. I just, at least out of myself,
yeah.
because I can't. I always mess it up. But, you know, I am amazed sometimes the person that I am in dealing with. For example, with the situation with my friend that's a nurse whose son was injured in Afghanistan. You know, I found myself.
She's tearing up over here, Madeline. That's pretty cool.
I found
cool.
myself Thursday night. You know, she is such a wonderful person.
Right.
And I got a call, or I found out after I had already started work. And when I went up there, you know, I heard that she didn't. At first, she didn't want to, like, tell everybody because she didn't want everybody calling her, you know, and trying to do stuff for her because she's not that kind of person. She's the one that does stuff for everybody else.
Right.
And what broke my heart about the whole thing is she said she was asking for positive thoughts,
mm-hmm.
positive energy, and prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to her best friend who was working that night later on after things cooled down, you know, and things were quieted after some stuff. I said to her, because I felt like, you know, I've never asked her about her spiritual,
right,
where she stands,
right.
And I heard Nancy told me, she said, you know, she said she's afraid to ask for prayers because she's not that religious.
Right.
And I said, Nancy,
it's not about that. It's not about being religious.
I said, I got to talk to her.
Yeah.
I got to talk to her. And she was like, well, you know, she's leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning to get up there and to, cause he was being sent stateside Friday. So my concern was, is that she felt so unworthy to ask for prayers,
right,
when that,
yes,
was the only thing that really
needed. That was the
needed.
Only thing. Yes, exactly.
And there, I mean, how many people are like that?
Right.
They're functioning. They're functioning very well in their life.
Right.
And
then
day to day.
Yeah.
And then when a catastrophic,
yes,
thing happens, they can't. They feel like they're not worthy to ask for,
right,
prayer or ask God to help.
And you got to wonder how many families of the 3,000 or 4,000 that were killed on 9/11,
yeah,
also went through some of that same thing and weren't accustomed, perhaps, to seeking the Lord in their time of trouble. And so really what we're saying is people need God. They need the Lord. And really in such a real way in our lives that God wants to be there for us. He's got his wonderful word right here in front of us that we can get our strength from, and we can open it and we can find the comfort we need. Madeline, you want to comment on that?
Well, and you know, the sad thing and then the good thing that comes from that is that a lot of time, you know, these horrible events open the door for people to seek God.
Right.
Because it's in those times usually that, you know, people are looking for answers, they're looking for comfort.
Yes.
And they may have a friend or family member that can say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Or they'll seek it out themselves. And, you know, so it's the good that comes from the bad, because,
right,
now you've got people who are having access to God and realizing, okay, I don't have to do this alone.
Yes.
You know, and maybe I don't understand it and I'll never get an answer as to why that happened, but I don't have to deal with it by myself.
Amen. Amen. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Psalm 119 and actually correlating with 9/11 and all of that. Psalm 119, about verse 162 or 63, the psalmist says, I'm ecstatic over what you say, like one who strikes it rich. You know, that's saying, God, I love. Can you read that, Connie, in your NIV?
Mm-hmm.
161, 2, 3, 4, someplace in there. Down through 7 times a day.
Okay. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word.
Mm-hmm.
I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil.
Mm-hmm.
I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law.
Amen.
7 times a day I praise you for your righteousness laws.
Wow.
Righteous laws.
Yes. And so what the psalmist is saying is, yeah, I love what you say in your word. God, you give me the strength, you know. And I think so often people out there don't realize that you can gain strength from reading the word, and you can get comfort right here.
Mm-hmm.
7 times each day I stop and shout praises for the way you keep everything running right. For those who love what you reveal, everything fits. No stumbling around in the dark for them. I wait expectantly for your salvation. God, I do what you tell me. My soul guards and keeps all your instructions. Oh, how much I love them. I follow your directions. I abide by your counsel. My life's an open book before you. And that section in Psalm 119 is just talking about how cool it is to get that fresh revelation from God of what he wants to tell us and how he wants to change our lives by his word and by the comfort that comes from that. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, you know, really, we have to do so little because, you know, we don't like change. And we know that,
right,
in our lives, circumstances are that people can't always be there for us. People are going to leave and they're not going to be able to be there for us all our lives, for everything we need. But God is. And
amen.
He doesn't care if we leave him and come back. He's,
right,
always going to be there. Imagine how easy it sounds that no matter what happens to us in our lives, God's right there.
Right.
All we have to do is open the book or call yes. a friend or go to church or seek him in whatever yes. ways we do. And he is never changing.
He is never changing.
The only constant that we have in our lives, for sure.
He really is. He is the only constant. So when we're up against a struggle, which we've used that song many times, praise the Lord, that old song that shatters all our dreams, you know, and we begin to praise God and thank him and we get into the word and we find the strength, I dare say there's a whole lot of people that through this 9/11 event turned to the word of God for their strength and their comfort. And if you're one of those out there right now that are hurting so bad today and you have no clue what to do about your situation, the Word of God is alive, it says in Hebrews 4. It's alive, living, it's active, it is able to get down on the inside of you. And why don't we turn there? Because I think that's really cool. That is Hebrews chapter 4. And actually, I just turned back there. How about that? All righty. I love this. It is verse 12 of Hebrews 4, and I'm reading it from the Message Bible. God means what he says. Boy, that really hits it home right there. God means what he says. So let's just take that for an example. You just said, Madeline, about God's love for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him does not perish but have everlasting life. God means what he says. Okay, I love that, the way the Message Bible.
Not just
Bible.
Back then, but today.
Today, because Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday.
Today and forever.
Today and forever. He does not change. I love that point. Mm-hmm. So God means what he says. What he says goes. Okay? His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything. Yes, nurse over here, you can tell us about that sharp scalpel. Cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Isn't that great? Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Mm-hmm. Read that in the NIV, would you? A lot of people are probably very comfortable with that, Hebrews 4:12 in the NIV.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Whoa. I love that it says it separates soul and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, that's who we are, spirit, soul, and body. And the soul level is our emotions. That is our level of our personality, you know, our emotions, where we get kind of, you know, affected, you know, by things around us. Our spirit level is that the part that is sold out to Jesus, that, you know, we know that God loves us, we love him and all that. But our problems happen in our soul level. You know what I'm talking about, Madeline?
Yeah.
And we get off on these emotional tangents and we get off on these areas. But God's word, it says here in Hebrews 4, is able to go in there and work that thing out between your soul level and your spirit level. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to comment on that?
I think it's always when we try to take over a situation where the problems come in and where we let the devil get a hold of us is
yes.
because we forget, you know, because our emotions are big. And we forget that we only have to do one simple thing is just follow God's word. It's
right.
really so simple, but yet it's a hard task for us.
It is a hard task.
Because we think, you know, we think either it's too small for God or I haven't done what I was supposed to,
right.
so I can't ask him for another thing because
right.
I've just been at his, you know, door knocking for, you know, the last, you know, 30 days and all kinds of reasons. And
right.
we get off on that tangent of
right.
our emotions.
Yes.
And we allow, you know, that's when I know for me, the devil just says, oh boy, yeah, she's open now. I'm jumping on. We're going to take her for, you know, a ride. And,
right.
And sometimes, you know, I let him. And then I'm like, okay, wait, stop. You know, let me let me call pastor, let me get open the Bible, let me get my thinking right again and say, all I have to do is this. Seek God and you will find him. But
Amen.
You have to seek him with all your heart.
Exactly.
You have to remember that.
And that's the beauty of the Word of God, because it gets down in there and separates, it says here in Hebrews 4:12, it separates our emotions from fact. Okay? Because our emotions get over there into areas of nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go eat worms, like my mother used to say. Our emotions get into those areas where we feel sorry for ourselves, we allow the devil to beat us up. The fact is, right here in the Word, this is what the fact is. But so often the devil tries to tell us that he's telling us the facts, and those aren't the facts at all. Go ahead, Connie.
I was just going to say voice of truth.
The voice of truth. Yes. That great song, Casting Crowns.
They sang
Crowns.
It last
They sang
phenomenal.
It? Oh, yeah. My gosh. I love that song. We play that on this show a lot. But the voice of truth says, wait a minute, God says this about you. You are his chosen one. I taught on that today in 1 Peter 1, that we are a chosen race, a holy priesthood. You know, we are accepted in the beloved. We are all of those things that we don't think we are sometimes, because the devil does a number on us. Ooh, my. Oh, my. But his word reminds us of who we are. And in Hebrews 4, it reminds us that his word goes down in and separates the emotional junk from reality, the reality of the facts of God's word, what God thinks about you and what his word says about you. You want to comment on that?
Well, the thing is, I think when we get caught up in all that emotional stuff, it's we forget to stop and do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you get on the tangent and you start rolling, you know, snowballing downhill.
Yes.
And until something happens, whatever it is, either someone intervenes or you train yourself to stop.
Right.
And you have to train yourself to say, okay,
yes,
I know what I'm doing here.
Yes, you do.
And I need to stop it now and get in the Word. And that's all. I mean, again, it's so simple, but not easy.
No, it's not easy because the devil comes and says that it's okay to feel all those things and to get depressed and discouraged and want to give up and all that. And at any time in our nation's history, I mean, this whole massive thousands of people that were affected by 9/11 had to go through some very hard times emotionally. Probably still are a lot of these families that lost a father, mother, whatever. And yet we know that when we're in the direst, is that a word, of circumstances, God's word comes and speaks truth to our hearts.
Just one quick thing is what I thought when you were saying that is this. The thing that I think tricks us too is when we get, you know, feeling guilty and getting on ourselves for, you know, we think we did something wrong, we deserve this bad thing that happened to us, the devil comes in and he agrees with us.
Oh, yes.
So it's almost like a, you know what I mean? It's like we're thinking, oh, he's agreeing with us, I'm right.
Yeah.
Someone's saying I'm right. So it's kind of like a, you know, he tricks us. He tricks us
absolutely
by agreeing with us.
Mm-hmm. And really, this first point today is to be a true harvest hand in this hour in history, we have got to know that our strength comes from the Word of God. That's where our strength comes from. That God is going to speak to our hearts and teach us the truth of what he feels, what God feels about us. Connie, do you have a comment about that? Mm. No. Okay. So, of course. All right. Jeremiah 15:16. I love that verse where Jeremiah says, thy words were found. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is this. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Thy words were found and I did eat them. You see, the words don't, you know, necessarily find you. You got to find them, you know. You got to decide, okay, I need something in my life. I need strength. I need hope. I need courage. And you find that in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And as harvest hands, that's what we have to give away. The hope, the encouragement, the strength in a verse of Scripture, you know, that just absolutely changes our lives. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Somebody comment on eating the Word, Connie.
Somebody. Well, when Jesus was being tempted, he kept telling the devil that man does not eat bread alone, and the word is bread.
Yes.
because it nourishes our body, it nourishes our mind, and it nourishes whatever we need it to at the time.
Right.
And we can use it to, we can use it as a weapon against the devil.
Absolutely.
We can use it as a weapon against somebody who's coming against us about something spiritual. And it can be used to feed our brothers and sisters who need to hear something positive, who need to hear what the truth is about God and what and how God really is, His nature. And, you know, Madeline, one of the things I was thinking when you were talking about us walking away from God and that it wasn't God that left, you know, when you do go back to God, it's not like he says, well, let me check my book here. I think it's been, no, I can't talk to you today because you haven't kept up with your assignments and you come back another day.
He never does that, does he?
No. It's like he doesn't have a memory when it comes to that.
Right.
You know, and he is there. He is there 24/7.
He so is. And Psalm 103, David said that when, you know, when we ask God to forgive us, let's say that we've been lax in our Bible reading, you know, that we haven't been reading much. And we go to God and we say, God, forgive me. I've not been talking to you. I've not been praying enough. I've not been reading your word. I've not been getting your word down on the inside of me. I've not been like Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. I haven't been finding them and I haven't been eating them, you know. And when we go to God and we repent, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And David said that that sin of neglect, of not taking time with God and all of that, is separate. It's far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember it. So you go back to him and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, my first thought was we need to eat more of God's words because it's zero calories. So I need to eat more of God's word and less of other stuff.
There you go. That's a good thought, Madeline.
But
I like that.
A couple of things I thought when you guys were talking.
It's like word zero, like Coke zero.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. I like that, word zero.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'd mentioned this once to you or at a Wednesday night Bible study is, I wish I grew up with more Christian music because I didn't. Other than, even though I played, believe it or not, and I forget what they called it then, it wasn't a praise team, but I played in a band in a church growing up. I don't remember a lot about it. I can't say like I remember a lot of the songs. Nothing I've ever still heard today. But I wish that I would have listened to more Christian music because of the positive messages and the hope. You know, I grew up with regular secular music and it was very much, you know, filled with strife.
Right.
And I think from a young age, I had all this strife that I didn't even live yet.
Sorry.
I didn't even live all this strife yet, but yet I was feeling it and experiencing emotions. Yeah. And I just think more of that, eating the word, of hearing the music, you know, God's word through music is yum.
Oh,
yummy, zero
fantastic.
Calories, and you're going to spread that back out. That's where you're going to be speaking back out. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Ooh.
It's all good.
It's all good. Wow. And if you don't have a vehicle that has a CD player in, surely you would have a vehicle that has a radio in. Joy FM has all this music on there all the time, right?
Spirit
if you're in the
FM
Tampa Bay Area, Spirit FM.
And
surround yourself. I don't listen to the other stuff anymore, haven't for years and years, because I'm like you. What limited time I have to listen to music, I want it to be something that's going to encourage me and bless me and give me hope and strength.
Edify us, right?
Edify
we
us,
be lifted
yes.
up. We need it.
Absolutely. So we need the word of God. We need this in our lives. You have a comment about that?
If they don't live in our area, they have to do is Google Christian radio music, and they'll find it on the web.
Well, and I've got this really cool thing called Pandora now on my little tablet, you know? I know. Can you imagine?
It's got Pandora and the email.
I do have the email, yes. Oh, they make fun of me, Bill, because of my lack of computer skills.
Because she's like coming into the 21st century.
I'm coming in.
You know, I used to be on Joy FM.
Did you?
1997.
Whoa. Cool. Well, good for you.
Elroy, the traffic boy.
And that was you.
I was listening to it then.
Elroy, the traffic boy.
And they had the sound of the spaceship.
Yep, they had the sound of the spaceship.
Yep.
See
yep,
there?
Yep.
See,
how about that?
Elroy,
he's a star. Elroy, we're going to call you Elroy from now on, yeah. Traffic Boy.
You can do that if you'd like.
Oh, thank you so much. What a sweet attitude he has. Okay.
Look what he wrote. Mr. Bill was on the Joy FM 1997.
Oh, my. Well, Beacon of Hope was on Bay News 9 this week for our baptism. Woo-hoo! Last Monday, weren't we? Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And that was thanks to Elroy, the traffic boy in there.
There you go, Elroy.
Thanks, Elroy.
No problem.
Yes, Bay News 9, our TV station came out to Dunedin Causeway where we were last Monday, and they filmed our baptism and got to us.
I guess you can get a video copy, but you got to call a number and pay a little money for just a little one-minute clip, which they can send it to you in an email. Then you can post that to your site. I gave the information to Nan.
All right, cool. There we go.
Thank you.
All right, here we are with this great song by Avalon, People Need the Lord, old song, one of my favorites in the whole world. People.
Oh, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear.
God, people need the Lord. I love that song because that is so true. I love that line. We're called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. And we are called to take the light of God, and that revolves around the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at a couple verses with me, verses 24 and 25. The old life is a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as wildflowers. You know how you can plant flowers and then they're suddenly gone. You know, they don't last that long. That's what our old life is like. It's been there, but it's gone pretty quickly. Grass dries up and flowers droop, but God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. I absolutely love the word. What do you have to say about that? And why is that so important as harvest hands that we have a grasp on this concept, Connie? What do you think about that?
Well, we have to, if we're going to go out.
Right.
We have to be real. We have to be genuine. We have to be full of love.
Yes.
And we have to be non-judgmental.
Right.
And be able to, you know, they need to be able to see Jesus in us.
Amen.
In order to, quote, sell religion or sell
right.
what we have.
Yes.
Because there are plenty of people who claim to be Christians who, I mean, you see them every day, all these legislator people who claim to be these Christian people who are, you know, giving speeches and slamming every section of the United States population that they can. They're not this, they're not that. And, you know, I think we need to be and do as Jesus would do.
Absolutely.
And they need to see that what we're talking about is genuine and
it's
real.
Genuine.
That we have it inside
exactly.
of us.
And exactly.
And yet, you know, there's so many people. I you know what? I stood there last night and, you know, there were people all around us raising their hands in
worship.
Isn't
that great? Praise God.
And it was like so cool
yeah.
because, you know, I mean, here you are in a secular place, really.
Right.
Universal Studios.
Yeah.
And all these people around us at least had the same kind of belief that
yes.
we did.
Yes.
And then it kind of slipped to my mind that, you know, here you are standing here in the middle of all these people doing the same thing they're doing. And if they only knew.
Yeah. Whatever. You know? Finish that sentence. Yeah.
Well, no.
Right.
You know, if they only knew that most of those people standing there beside of us.
Right.
If they knew truly who we were.
Right.
They wouldn't have. You know, they would have probably went to another side of, you know, like we had.
Not accepting, in other words.
Right.
And,
you
yes.
know, and yet that doesn't define who we are.
Right.
Jesus defines
he
who
defines
we are.
He defines who we are.
Period.
And it's his word in us that defines who we are. Madeline, did you have a thought?
Yeah, well, that's all that matters. I mean, we're there because we share
yes.
the love of God.
Yes.
And we want, you know, we want to be there with other people that are led by God in their lives.
Right.
I mean, there shouldn't be anything else that defines you or you're recognized by
right.
or anything else.
It's about the word growing in you, you know,
right.
what God
yeah.
is doing. I mean, it's the word that conceived the new life in you, according
mm-hmm.
to this verse. And so that is what's going on. And as we get more word down on the inside of us, we begin to change. You know, I mean, I think that's so cool
mm-hmm.
how the Holy Spirit does that, because you can take a brand new baby Christian, you know, that just says, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, live in me. And then they begin to get in the word, hear the word, get taught the word, preach to, whatever the case may be. And they understand that, wait a minute, this book I have is not just a book. This is living. It's alive. It's scripture that's going to change me. It's stories that are going to help me grow, you know. And as that starts happening on the inside of us, people fall in love with the word of God. It totally changes mm-hmm. the way they see things. Did you have a comment on that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the great thing about, for me, going to Bible study is, you know, because I was definitely a baby Christian, certainly in that I did not read the Bible, even though I went to church my whole life since as far back as I can remember.
But it was not a habit of yours to read the word.
Yeah, no one encouraged it or discouraged it. I just didn't, you know, I kind of read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know,
yeah.
not that that wasn't wonderful, but I also didn't have anyone to take me further with it.
Right.
So I read this and I understood whatever my, at the time, teenage mind understood of it.
Right.
But I didn't know, you know, how incredibly powerful and great it all was, and that there was a lot more to
right.
be had until I started coming to Bible study, because Beacon was my first experience with Bible study. And, you know, asking the questions, you know, and certainly I didn't read a Message Bible then, because I didn't even know
That there were other translations, yeah.
I don't even know what I was
thought
reading.
Maybe just King James or whatever.
Good news. That's what I had.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
I had
the
Gospels.
Yeah, okay.
And,
paraphrase.
You know, so until I could start, you know, asking my questions, I really don't understand this. Can you, especially because I think I had a NIV, which is still I like too, but I sometimes it just didn't get through.
Didn't
for
get
me.
Through. Yeah.
And then I, you know, you turned me on to the Message Bible,
right?
And I had Bible study for everyone sharing their information and getting deeper and deeper.
It's cool,
and more
isn't it?
Understanding. And then you could really not only get excited, which makes you want more, and you can start living it because you get it.
Yes. Yes. And suddenly it becomes important to you. Mm-hmm. You know, to pick up the word. And honestly, guys, in this day and age, we played that song a little while ago, People Need the Lord. They need the Lord, and they need the experience of understanding that God is still speaking today. You know, he speaks to us in a lot of ways. He speaks to us through prophetic word. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us when a passage comes alive and it hits us and we go, wow, that's for me. He speaks to us in a good teaching, a Bible study, a sermon that just, you know, just comes alive on the inside of you. And he reminds you of things he wants you to know, you know, and that's so powerful. And so when we are the harvest hands that God has called us to be, then we go forward letting God open the doors of opportunity so that we can share what God is saying to us in the word and impart how valuable the word of God is. Comment on that, if you will.
And it's also, you know, so much easier than it ever was before because of the internet. So if I am
having
a particularly busy day and I didn't start off, which is what I prefer to do, you know, doing my reading early before the whole day gets away.
Right.
I might be at work and take my lunch break and say, hey, I can Bible.com and, you know, I could get a reading, or I might get Connie's emails, which I really appreciate because that's just, you know, extra reminders.
Devotionals,
you know,
that devotionals. She handpicks from ministries and
And so there's, you know, there's a lot more access now and that makes it easier and simpler and more explanatory.
It does.
If you don't understand something, you can just ring anything up. Hey, tell me about, you know, 1 John blah.
Diana came up to me after church today with her Droid phone, and she said they've been pulling up dailyword.com and going to a chapter they wanted to hear, and then you put it on, and it will talk it to you.
Oh, cool.
Is that cool?
You don't even have to read. So
you don't even have to. I mean,
your own personal pastor.
But they said they have been doing that at night and turning on the phone and let passage just soak into them. And I think that is really cool. What God is doing with the Word of God. It's the Word that is alive and active and sharp and able to get down on the inside of us and change us. So Harvest Hands, there's nothing greater than the Word of God working on the inside of us. And we have that to give away to those that are in need. It's the Word that brings consolation. When our dear Jeannie passed away, you know, just a few weeks back, yesterday I was on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and we were revamping and doing some things, and I was listening to part of her funeral service, and it was just a blessed time. It's still on our website, her funeral service. Those of you that knew Jeannie, you may want to go there and listen to that. But, you know, as I started to play it, it was me, you know, doing the funeral, and I was reading the word, and just what I was hearing, my own voice was like, wow. And it was just, the word was just comforting for that moment, you know, where we were in that point of sadness, of loss, you know, it's just the word. It's just, Connie, did you have a comment on that before we go to station ID?
Should I?
Yeah, I don't know. Should you?
Probably not.
Okay. All right.
WTAN, Clearwater, WTAN, Peterswater, WDC, Zephyr Hills, and KLRK, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
It's a revival at Bayview Baptist Church, located at 201 Meadowlark Lane in Clearwater. It's going on through from September the 14th until the 16th, and services are at 7 p.m. nightly. Come out and meet revival evangelist Minister Benny Golson. For more information, call 727-791-9982. 727-791-9982. God is more than enough. It's a revival at the Bayview Baptist Church, 201 Meadowlark Lane in Clearwater.
Ooh, that was good. That's great. We wish them all the best, and we're glad to have that little ad for them here on this show. That's
Elroy
great.
Elroy does some good
promotion. Elroy the traffic boy. Elroy the traffic boy. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister along with Connie and Madeline today, and we're talking about harvest hands for the kingdom of God. We've been talking in this first hour about the word of God. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about another very important aspect of being a harvest hand. Before we do that, you both have mentioned a Bible study on Wednesday night. Connie, what happens on Wednesday night and who's invited?
Anybody's invited. Everybody's invited.
Right.
Yes, Bill.
Bill's
Elroy
even.
Elroy can come.
Elroy can come to Bible study.
I'm even allowed to come?
Come on, Elroy. Come on down. Yes.
What?
And we start about 6:15 with a little bit of a prayer service, prayer requests, and we do some prayers, and then we start Bible study at 7.
When do the rest of us get to go to Universal Studios with you?
Next year.
When
they're... This time next year, they'll be back. And actually, we're making some plans at trying to get a group of people to go this time.
Yeah.
A bunch of us. And we're going to infiltrate Universal Studios and go for both nights.
That would be cool.
Because there's Friday night, there were some really cool people there, too.
That's great. Okay. And, so that's a year from now.
Yeah. So save your money.
Okay. So in the meantime, we have Bible study.
Yes. And in the meantime, taking me off track. Elroy.
Yeah, there you go. Elroy did that. In the meantime, we have Bible study
Bible
on Wednesday
study
night.
At 7 o'clock. And bring your... Most people come after work or after school or whatever. And so a lot of people bring their dinner. Or there's several choices of dining cuisine in our section of our building.
All right.
So...
very many choices.
Yeah, there's all kinds of choices. None of them really so much zero calories, but close.
Mm-hmm. That's the word. Remember, word is zero calories.
The word is zero calories. That's
right.
What we're going to have to eat. So,
right.
and then we usually dismiss about 8:30. So from 7 to 8:30.
Everybody's welcome.
Like
we'd love to see you.
Yes.
3700 Almerton Road and in the strip mall that has Five Guys in it. And we're right behind it. That's Bible study. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. is a regular service. Wild with our praise band. What great music today.
Fun.
Oh, fun. It's just getting better and better. And you drummer, you just make it come alive.
Oh, shucks.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Nathan on the keyboard, Aaron on the guitar, the singers. It's just fantastic. And that's Sundays at 10. 4 weeks from today is huge for Beacon of Hope. Mm-hmm. It is our 10th anniversary as a ministry. And that is wild. And I'm so looking forward to that. So exciting. And that is 4 weeks from today, this weekend, on Friday night, October 7th. We're going to have a praise celebration. A lot of our own people doing music and doing special things. Nan might have some special poems.
She'll probably sing them.
You never know.
She wrote a couple songs.
I know she wrote a couple songs. You never know what might happen before
that. On the guitar.
All right. Okay. So, see, you never know what might happen. And that everyone is welcome. Friday night, October 7th is our praise celebration. And Sunday morning, a big, huge, wonderful service. And we're carrying that over after family dinner day. We're carrying that over to a great radio show that day as a 10th year for the ministry. And a lot of the radio team that you know and love will be on that show. So we're excited about that. That is 4 weeks from today, our 10th anniversary as a ministry. This song we did last week, I've asked Connie to repeat it today because it is so powerful. The Potter's Hand, and is a beautiful lead into what we're going to talk about in this hour about harvest hands.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand.
By your holy calling, draw me to yourself. Make me, mold me, change me. We are in the potter's hand. You can't be a true harvest hand in this day and age without allowing the potter to mold you and change you and make you who he wants to make you. We can try to do it on our own steam, but it won't be anointed. And anointing is what it's all about. When we allow the Holy Spirit, the potter, you know, from Jeremiah chapter 18, where Jeremiah said, you know, I feel like I'm the clay, you're the potter, you know. And that's what it is. And in order to be an effective, I'm going to say it that way, effective potter, or an effective harvest hand, we must allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us. I said this morning, and I don't know where this came from. I wrote it. It was written in my Bible. If you truly, oh, wait, here it is. Let me read it the way I wrote it. If you want to become a giant in God, doing exploits, healings, miracles, then become a midget in your own eyes. Comment, Madeline.
It's that politically correct? That was my first comment.
Politically correct. Probably not.
If you're vertically challenged.
Little person. Okay. Let's call it
humble.
You want
to be a really tall vertically.
You guys, don't worry about political correct. You understand the point, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure. I think, you know, in our humanness, it's so easy to try to do it on our own steam, like you said.
Yes.
But it's true that we need to spend time with God to let him let us know what to do, what to say, where to go, what our right. ministry is. Because, I know that I know when I'm talking with someone that may be trying to show me their point of view, if I feel like they're being insincere, if I feel like they're trying to push their belief system on me, if I feel that they're just not coming from a place that God's leading them.
Right.
And I don't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to come across that way. So,
right.
you know, the only way not to is to just keep seeking and, you know, asking him, Lord, I'm going to go out there today. And I just ask that you, you know, let me speak your words and, you know, you let me know how I need to approach the person or persons I might be coming across today, and just be open to it so that
exactly.
constantly aware. It's the only way. Again, to me, it's all practice because, you know, every day I start off with my good intentions.
Right.
And I go through my day and I misstep and I stumble and I fall and I, you know, I do all that stuff that, you know, my humanness helps me to do.
Right.
And then thank God I got my slate there with an eraser because if I didn't have that, I'd be in trouble.
Amen.
And I get to say, okay, God, I think I didn't do that as well as I could have. So, you know, for next time, please show me what I need to do.
We go back to the Christian's bar soap, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Thank God.
To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because what we're saying here is that as harvest hands, we don't approach this whole thing as haughty, as know-it-all, as look at me, you know, I got all the answers. Instead, we must see ourselves as subordinate to the power of the Lord Jesus. Is that more politically correct? We must see ourselves as leaning on the everlasting arms. Mm-hmm. That we can't say the right thing. We're going to put our foot in our mouths. I'm famous for that. We're all going to do that, right, Con? I mean,
yes, ma'am.
We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Talk to me.
Well, I was thinking, you know, when we get up in the morning or in the evening, whichever shift you work. Or
that's you and know, getting up in the afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
But when you're going to go out somewhere and you're going to be around people.
Sure.
You like take a shower and wash your hair and put.
Yeah.
Girls put makeup on. Some boys put makeup on.
right.
You know, but you brush your teeth and you put
you get ready. You go
put
out.
Yourself
yeah.
out there the best you.
Yes.
You're going to present
sure.
the best you.
Sure.
So why not, when you're getting ready,
right.
put on the best Jesus.
Right.
Or put on Jesus with you.
Yes.
On you, in you. Put him on you until he's really totally in you. Then you don't have to put him on you anymore.
Okay. Which brings me to 22 of 1 Peter 1. Now that you've cleaned up your lives mm-hmm. by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. And that's what we're talking about here, is really loving people and loving each other in the true sense of that word, you know? I mean, not just placating people, but sincerely caring for where they are in their situation. And love sometimes is strong, and it's a word of, come on, you can come out of this, you know? Here's scripture to help you. You know, when Jesus sent the 12 disciples out, he said, you're the equipment. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, Don't worry about what to take with you. Don't even worry about taking an extra change of clothing. You know, you just go out and you allow yourself to be used of God. And when you do that and realize you're the equipment, then how you come across is extremely important. Hence that statement that you need to become little in your own eyes. Comment on that.
Yeah, you know, that used to be, and still is to some degree, you know, a difficult one for me. I would be the person in church who, you know, I didn't want to be the greeter or anything because I didn't really want to come into contact with everyone, you know, because okay. I was afraid of those people that I didn't know how to maybe talk to or okay. approach. And so I, you know,
a little bit
I
of insecurity
there. Challenge,
yeah. Okay.
Which I like.
Yeah.
And what I decided to do was I'd start approaching people and maybe just listen.
Okay.
First, you know, mm-hmm. so I didn't have to worry, what am I going to say,
right.
you know, and just listen. Let's see, you know, what this person's about.
And that is a good approach, by the way, is to mm-hmm. listen more than speak, you know.
And then, you know, in the meantime, work with God on that for me so
right.
that I didn't have to be afraid. And I put that in quotes. It wasn't a real fear. It was just, oh, this looks hard. I'm, you know, I don't know how to do this. So I'm just going to shy away from it. And so I practiced, you know, okay, Lord, I want to do more of this because it's something hard for me. And I want to love everybody, not
right.
just the select few.
Right.
And it's, you know,
it's hard.
Again, everything else, it's hard. It's practice. And, you know, and now I do it better. I
okay.
still, I know it's, you know, a long way to go and that's okay.
But you kind of shoved yourself out there and said, mm-hmm. okay, I got to do better here on this, right?
And I have to remind myself, you know,
right.
when I'm standing around sometimes and I'm just watching what goes on instead of participating, that,
right.
okay, I'm going to go over to this person and just engage.
And when you do and reach out, does it do anything for you?
Well, it makes me feel better that, you know, that I'm listening to God.
Right.
And, you know, usually it dispels your fears because
right.
it wasn't horrific. It, you know, it wasn't a terrible, whatever my mind
right.
would allow me to think
right.
that was
sure.
going to happen or not happen.
Right. Exactly. Do you have something, Con, you were thinking
she's
about?
She's busy reading over
she's,
there.
Yeah, she's got something she's looking for in her Dutch Sheets book, this Hope Resurrected. What a good book that is.
Well, I was looking for this part here. It actually, it refers to, it's a part where it's talking about when the guy, after Jesus had left, and after Jesus had died, but he came back, and they didn't know he was back, I think. It was when the fishermen went out and they caught nothing.
Right.
Okay. And then he came to them and he said, you need to put the net out on the other side of the boat.
Yes.
But what he was saying was, you know, they were ready to, they had already pulled up their nets.
Sure.
And
John 21.
Folded everything up and was ready to just quit for the day.
Right.
And what he said was, you know, come on, let's go back out and put the net down on the other side of the boat, which resulted in a
yes.
huge catch. And what was they were saying, what was he trying to communicate through that event? And one of the things that he was trying to say was that his mercy and his commitment to them was that he was not going to allow them to prosper by running away
yes.
from him
right.
back to the old way of life. And that he was too committed to them and to their destiny that to allow them to return to what they were.
Right.
Because they had come this far.
Praise God.
And he needed to make sure that they knew that he wanted them to continue.
And that is what God is saying today, too. No matter what your, like you were talking about, inadequacies or feeling like you don't measure up or you can't put yourself out there to get involved and be a harvest hand, God is saying, you know, I'm not going to let you go back to those days. This is a new day. This is a time that we are learning how to reach out to people and be available. Sometimes it happens at work when somebody says something to you and a door opens in conversation and you're able to throw out a little statement of encouragement or hope or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
at least put your foot in the door so
yeah,
it stays open.
Exactly. And but it is hard. And you know, it's one thing when Jesus sends his 12 disciples out as harvest hands and they were basically out there. They were talking to people. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you the change he's made in my life. And that is really what it is we are to do. When we love people, and this verse in 1 Peter, I love it. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, and that happens through the word. That's 1 Peter 1:22 again. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth. So you begin to say, okay, God, show me those areas that I need to clean up in my life and let your word get down in there and change me. Then the next sentence he says, or comma, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Now that's huge right there. As if your lives depended on it. Now that's not just casual. Hey, how you doing today? It's so much more than, hey, how you doing today? Madeline, you're up.
Well, that statement to me is, you know, he's not fooling around.
Uh-huh.
He's letting us know that's the ticket.
That's it.
You know, this is what he wants us to do.
Right.
And again, simple, not easy, because in theory.
Right.
Right. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
We should all love each other. That sounds really good.
It sounds,
and
but it's hard to do because.
It's hard because people.
Because why?
Are different. We're afraid of differences sometimes. We're afraid of conflict. We,
right.
You know, we might assume something about somebody that is or isn't true. And it may be a difficult encounter. I mean, we've had that happen in the church.
Sure.
You know, where people are having problems at a certain time in their lives, and it just kind of makes it a little harder to,
yes,
reach out to them or, you know, just communicate with them. And but the thing is, for me, I try to think now, that's okay.
Yeah.
Not every contact is going to be, you know, easy as pie,
right?
Maybe, but there'll be learning that comes out of that. You know, there'll be something that God wants us to know and shows us. And, you know, it's like everything else in life.
Right.
But that statement, I mean, that's huge.
Love one another as if your lives depended on
it. What else is there to know?
Wow. Yeah, because the importance here of walking the way Jesus walked, and what is he? He was love. God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. Go ahead, Con.
I wish I could remember the name of this song, but there was a song that was out a few years back, and it talked about, you know, how you live your life, and it was almost like the 30, 60, 100-fold.
Sure.
And I mean, you could divide it up in that you were at the 30.
Right.
You know, it was talking about the mansion, and mm-hmm. it was like the song was telling the story about somebody who was walking with St. Peter.
Yeah.
Because he was wondering what his house was going to look like his mansion on the hilltop.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And he was talking about how, you know, how you share different things at those different aspects in your relationship with God. And it was kind of like, it was a little bit sketchy as far as like maybe it had something to do with the deeds of two people, deeds to what you do with people. But anyway, the bottom line was this guy goes to heaven and finds that his house is like some little teeny shack.
Yeah.
And so he comes back or wakes up from his dream, whatever, and he realizes that he's got to do more for the kingdom of God.
Right. Okay.
Because he was walking down the street and he saw all these mansions.
Right.
You know, and he thought, you know, which one's mine? Which one's mine?
Right.
And then when they come to the end of the street where his is, and it's the shack because he's not living as much as he could be. It's not really done like in a condemning
right
frame, and I got to find the song, but
because
it was really cool, and it challenged him mm-hmm. to, you know, when he woke up, it was like somebody, you know, shaking him up, mm-hmm. shaking up his life. This is what you need to do for me.
Amen.
And so, you know, he came back and he was going to do this, and, you know, he was going to be sharing this, and, you know,
right.
It was really a fun song.
And sometimes we need these wake up times in our lives where we realize, wait a minute, why am I here on this earth? So I'm going to take us back to Matthew 10, the words that Jesus spoke to his 12 harvest hands in verse 5 of Matthew 10. Jesus sent his 12 hands out, harvest hands out, with this charge. This is the Message Bible. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers, you know, like Africa. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. bring health to the sick. Matthew 10, I'm starting with verse 5. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, because a lot of people are walking around, but they're dead. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is three meals a day. Travel light. I love that passage in the Message Bible. That was Matthew 10, verses 5 through 10. Amazing verses. So often we can't travel light because we have so much unforgiveness and baggage that we are hanging on to. Listen to this Chris August song, 7 times 70.
I've been living in this house here since the day that I was born. These walls have seen me happy, but most of all they've seen me torn. They've heard the screaming matches that made a family fall apart. They've had a front row seat to the breaking of my heart. 7 times, 70 times, I'll do what it takes to make it right. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgive. Someone to notice me. I felt alone and undiscovered and old enough to understand. Just when I'm supposed to be learning to love you, let me down again. 7 times, 70 times, I'll do what it takes to make it right. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgive.
God, I've never heard that song. I love it. It's I thought the pain, new song. Mm-hmm. I thought the pain was here to stay, but forgiveness made a way. This is so critical. We're talking today on Living the Good Life about being the harvest hands that God has commissioned us to be. And I'll tell you what, forgiveness is absolutely huge. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us this day our daily bread. No, Is that
trespasses.
What I said?
That's right. You got it.
Or trespasses.
Or trespasses, yeah.
Oh, give us this day.
Give us this day. Forgive. Forgive our... Yeah, I got it. It's all right. I'm tired. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus even went to, so boldly to say, if you don't forgive people, I'm not forgiving you. Period. And I mean, that's huge. You know, forgiveness is one of the keys to being an effective harvest hand. We were talking in the last segment about love being the key. But so often we can't love, Madeline, because we haven't forgiven.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's another statement. I mean, God makes it so clear what he wants from us. You know, he doesn't tell us it's going to be easy and he doesn't tell us how to do it. But he makes it clear what he wants. And that's a tough one. You know,
it's tough.
I know it for myself. I know it for a lot of people that I come in contact with. That is a huge barrier between them and God because they, you know, are so angry for things in their lives that they feel that, you know, God is not taking care of them. And I just come up against that time after time. And
yes.
It's funny for me. I've never had that experience with God. Like, I don't blame God. I don't know why. It's just something that I kind of had since I was a kid. I don't blame God when things are going wrong. I certainly go to him and cry out and beg and plead and whatever, but I just don't blame him for it. But it is a difficult thing. And, you know, as I get older, I strive more for the forgiveness, you know, more than ever before, because I didn't realize when I was younger what a barrier that is.
It just builds up on the inside of you. It becomes a cesspool. Oh, you know, yesterday I saw a new commercial about smoking. And I don't know if you've seen it, put on by Florida something or other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it took a big sponge full of gray gook, and it wrung it out, and it was like, I'm a chemistry teacher, I should remember.
A beaker
of this crud, and it said in 1 year, this much tar. You know, and I, as I saw that, I thought, wow, I'm glad I don't smoke, and I hope other people quit, you know, so that they stay healthier, you know. But it's the same with unforgiveness. It can be like that coming out of us, oozing out of us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unforgiveness is so powerful, a tool that the devil uses for us to feel justified in holding the resentments and the anger and the junk in our lives and feeling like a lot of people go through life feeling like I have a right to feel this way, you know? And it's almost like that sponge of your lungs, you know, I have a right to do this, you know? Do you understand the analogy?
Sure.
It was kind of
sketchy.
Weak.
I
it was sketchy.
It was
gray gook. Yes, Connie, do you have a comment about unforgiveness?
Well, I was going to say, you know, when Jesus tells us that we have the power and authority to speak to the mountains.
Amen.
And they can, that they'll move.
Yes.
If you say to the mountain, move, it'll move. But the bottom line is that his last statement was.
You're in Mark 11, 23 to 25.
Yes. He said, if you have anything. We'll see. Let me start a little bit before there. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins.
Oh, boy. Mark 11, 23 to 25. I love that passage. And a lot of times we quote that about moving the mountain, but Jesus is saying, you want to move the mountain? It starts with you having your heart right, and forgiveness is where it starts. And I totally agree with that. There's been times in my life where I have experienced this, that resentments have gathered so strongly on the inside of me that I could not really love people the way I should because I was all bound up in all my gray gook. You know, of feeling mad and angry and feeling justified to be mad and angry.
You know, I like what you sometimes say in church when you talk about unforgiveness. It doesn't mean that we agree with what the wrong that was came against us was. We don't agree with that person or people, but we can let it go because they can't make it right.
That's right.
And we accept that.
Yes.
And it's not, you know, it's not easy. It may be today that I can say, I forgive this person for this thing. And I feel it, and I mean it. And maybe a couple months down the line, because of the devil and the way we play our tapes, I might feel that again. I might feel, ooh, I'm feeling that ugly stuff that I felt before. And you just have to kind of recommit all the time, because it's not going to be so, it's nothing is perfect. It's, you're constantly having to work on yourself. And the, you know, the devil is going to, you know, oh, I remember this. This was bad.
Yeah.
You remember how you felt when that person did that. And, you know, so you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to keep the person in your life. You don't have to, you know, you just have to give the forgiveness.
That's a huge thing right there, Madeline, because I think a lot of people think if they truly forgive, they have got to keep that person in their life. I think that's an excellent point. And that they have to kowtow to them, or that I think there is a misconception out there in the world of what forgiveness really is. I agree with you. It does not mean we agree with the thing that was done. It just means they don't have to make it right and you let it go. But so often I think the devil tries to tell us that means we have to continue to suck up to them, let's say, or, you know, be something we aren't, you know? You have a comment on that?
Yeah, it's not, that just went out of my head. Holy crap.
Don't you hate that when that happens? We're on forgiveness. Oh,
it's not that you're not going to be. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
It's not that you're going to be forever their doormat because you forgave them.
Right.
It just means that there's no way they're ever going to make it right, because you can't take back time.
Right.
You can't, no matter how. That's why I always tell my nieces and nephews and you know, friends that, you know, be careful what you say to people.
Right.
Because you can't take it back.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And when you say things that are so hurtful and so cutting that, you know, it cuts at the time.
Right.
There's no repair that you can do.
Right.
So there's no way they can make it right. And sometimes it violates trust.
Right.
Sometimes it violates other special things. But the big thing is that they can't make it right. And you just have to, through God, through faith, go on.
Exactly.
Because if you dwell on it, the more you dwell on it, the more bitter you get, the more resentful you get, the more, and that is just...
The devil just grows that
stuff.
That's
just a cesspool for the devil to have a heyday.
A slime pit.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because unforgiveness attracts bitterness, resentment, anger, and hatred,
rejection,
and rage, and all of
those,
that stuff. They come and they just gang up on you. And the door to allow them in my opinion, walking this walk all my life, the door that opens it is unforgiveness. And so when the unforgiveness is allowed and nursed, you know, when it is nursed and when it is, well, I have a right to feel this way because, and when we get on that bandwagon, we are headed down a slippery, slimy path to more heartache and pain. Comment on that.
Well, you know, if you think through it, you know, if someone hurts you.
Hurt people.
You want now to hurt them back or take revenge. You know, think that through to the end, because maybe you'll accomplish that. You can easily, probably. But how are you going to feel come to the end of that? Because now you've not only been hurt, but now you're hurt because you've taken yourself down a notch and you've disappointed yourself. You've looked ugly to God. You know, you didn't take that high road, which usually always makes you feel better. I mean, it doesn't take away that pain of the hurt. But when you behave properly, I know when I do, I feel so much better. And I've had a lot of experience not behaving properly.
I feel better when you behave properly.
So I don't blame you, because I can be bad.
But no, that's an excellent point, Madeline, because we honestly don't feel good harboring the junk. We really don't.
Usually the other person doesn't necessarily know. I mean, unless you're actively participating and, you know, trying to have a confrontation, you're just sitting around stewing and, you know, creating bad situations for yourself instead of good opportunities, because nothing good is going to be attracted to your ugliness.
That's
when
exactly
you have
right.
that brewing inside. But our world, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of that out there. There's even a TV show, I think, starting this fall.
I was going to mention that. It's called Revenge. Did you see that?
Previews
for that? And I thought, oh my gosh, what the world needs now is not revenge.
It's not revenge.
Love, sweet love.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah, I was sad to see that because I just thought, you know, people are attracted. You know, I was reading the reviews of the new shows coming out, and I read that one on, you know, and they said people are going to be attracted to the show because of the people that are in it. They're popular actresses or whatever. And I just thought, oh, boy, you know.
Yeah.
So they're taking people that, you know, are attractive and that you like and putting them in this bad role model position.
And the show is all about getting exacting revenge on those that have hurt you. And all through the word, Jesus says, forgive, forgive, forgive. And that's where your victory is. And that's how you can be the loving harvest hand that God has called you to be. You can't be the harvest hand that God has called you to be if you harbor all that junk, like in your lungs, etc. Connie, the gook.
Well, you know, it's just like when, you know, it affects every relationship every person you have a relationship with, whether it's friendship or whatever.
You mean if you have this yucky feelings towards just one person, it affects others' relationships in your life?
Yeah. We were just talking earlier, when people bump into us, we want them to see Jesus, not a bunch of puke.
Right. Not a bunch of puke.
Not a bunch of puke or pus. You know, when somebody punches
pus.
You, you know.
She's a nurse. You know how it is. She's used to puke and pus.
Yeah.
Because
when you get bumped into or you get upset, what comes out, you want Jesus to come out. You don't want puke and pus. And that's
exactly
going to come
right.
out when somebody's upset.
That's right. So we have to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus taught on this continually about forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness in our lives. And we don't have the luxury of harboring resentment, hatred, anger. We don't have that luxury. And it's not even a luxury, but actually it's an awful thing. But I mean, we don't have the right, let's put it that way, to harbor that because it only hurts us, let alone everybody that is affected by it.
Not unless you don't want to be a harvest hand.
Harvest hands don't have the right or the luxury to harbor all that crappé.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to have the crappé, you just sit on the sidelines and fester, I guess.
Ooh. Let's hear this song by Avalon, Elroy. You were there.
I wonder how it must have felt when David stood to face Goliath on a hill. I imagine that he shook with all his might until you took his hand and held on tight. 'Cause you were there, you were there in the midst of danger's snare. You were there, you were there, always. You were there when the hardest fight seemed so out of reach. Oh, you were there. You were always there. You were always there. Not make sense. Oh, you were there.
us in the dark. Every moment, every plan, coincidence, just all makes sense with your last breath. During history's darkest hour,
God. Oh, he was always there. Isn't it wonderful, dear listeners, that God does not expect us to be a harvest hand without him right there in us, with us, going through every situation. He is right there like he's been, like that song says. I've never heard that song. It's great. With David, with all of everybody down through the ages. Connie, what were you feeling there? I saw you write something down.
I wrote down, one of the lines says, obedience, being obedient when it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And, you know, some things that we do or don't do because we feel like it's not the right thing because God's mm-hmm. with God in us.
Right.
We feel we use God as our barometer.
Right.
And, you know, part of that probably is forgiveness.
Right.
A big, huge part mm-hmm. of it. It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to forgive somebody who's hurt you?
Right.
Who's probably damaged you in some extent sometimes.
Right.
You know, some situations they've damaged you beyond repair. But does it make sense?
Obedience doesn't always make sense. But Jesus said forgive.
Yeah.
Forgive. Yeah. And Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive this person? And Peter said, do I have to do it 7 times, you know? And Jesus said, 70 times 7 each day per person is the original Greek. Now, that's 490 times a day per person.
Wow.
In other words, we don't have the luxury again, the right to harbor unforgiveness.
Wow.
We got to remember we are, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and then I want both your comments on this. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be holy people, God's instruments, to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted.
Hmm.
You're up.
Well, I'm still kind of reeling from Connie's comment.
Okay.
Because you just made it all real simple and clear for me.
Really?
Cool.
I don't have to understand it. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to like it. I just have to do it.
Oh, that's so
really?
Profound. That's right.
Yeah.
Obedience.
And it's going to hurt. But,
yeah.
I mean, what doesn't hurt? Praising him through the storm hurts, you
yeah.
know, that I'm going to praise him and thank him when I'm at my lowest point. So I just have to do unforgiveness.
You have to do forgiveness.
I'm sorry. Zoink.
Yeah.
See how the devil shot in there?
Zoink. I like what she says. Zoink.
Zoink.
Yeah, I don't have to get it. I just have to do it.
Don't have to understand it.
It's like everything else. First seek God, everything else will fall into place. That's what I have to do.
It's like mm-hmm. me with my 3 kids when they were very small, you know, and when times that, let's say they didn't want to go to bed on time, and yet they, I knew that they needed to go to bed, let's say by 9 o'clock, so they could get up in the morning, eat a good breakfast, and get off to school. They didn't like it, but I said, this is the way it is because I know that this is good for you. You know, mm-hmm. if you do this, you're going to feel better tomorrow. And if you, I let you stay up till midnight or, you know, whatever, you know, it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to, yeah.
And you know how we know that it's the right thing to do?
How?
Because you ever watch, you watch a movie or something where a person forgives a criminal in jail who's killed somebody in their family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mm-hmm. when I see that, I cry from the depths of my heart because right. I just think that's amazing. And I want that. I want to feel that.
On the other side of that, I have a relative who a few years ago boasted to me that when her dying sister called her and she had a couple days left to live and said to her, I am sorry for the things I've done all these years to hurt you. And there had been a lot between them. And she said, I want you to forgive me. And this person boasted to me on the phone, I will never forgive you. Mm. And it's okay. You're dying because I want you out of my life. Oh, and she actually had the audacity to boldly tell me. And she thought she was justified in that kind of. And she just recently died herself. But it's just so.
And she died probably in
She died with still that attitude, as far as I know, because her other sister told me that she had told her the same thing recently. So it's, can you imagine that people do feel justified in going to their grave with that kind of unforgiveness?
And I think that just breaks God's heart.
It's got to break his heart. It's got to break his heart.
You know, I think all that bitterness creates disease.
It does.
There's no way that all that negativity cannot create disease in
people. Well, we know that it does. I mean, it's a physical.
It's a medical fact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does create stress.
It does.
Ugliness like that is going to harm your
body. Think of how much energy it takes to be so negative.
Right.
It's crazy.
In order to be a harvest hand and be the called of God for this day and time, there is, in any day and time, there is no excuse for harboring all of that. And I like what you just said, Madeline, that kind of boiled it down for you. Say that again.
That we don't have to like it, accept it, you know, or get it. We just have to do it.
And do what?
Do forgiveness.
Do forgiveness. And forgiveness, I'm going to reiterate the definition you spoke, and I totally agree with. Forgiveness does not mean that you like or accept or think was okay the awful thing that was done to you. It simply means that you choose by an act of your will to let it go, not harbor it anymore, not let it grow on the inside of you any longer. You choose to let it go. They can't make it right, and you release them from that debt. That's really what forgiveness means. I'm going to give you each an opportunity to give a final thought before we kind of get this show go. They go so quickly. And Connie, do you have a final thought? All righty then.
Madeline, you go first.
I thought of something else that you said at church today. See, I was listening.
I know you're always listening.
You know, wear on your face, you know, what you want other people to see, you know, the God in you. Because that, I need to practice that, you know. Have a relaxed, open,
smile,
welcoming face so that people can see God in you.
Our faces tell so much, you know.
Yeah.
Body language.
All of it, yeah.
Connie, did you have a final thought?
Well, I think we just kind of rehashed some of the points we talked about today, well, and tonight, I think, with Harvest Hands, and you had 4 points today. We've got to walk in the Word daily. We've got to walk under the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We need to learn to walk in the love like never before, and we need to walk like we are the chosen race.
No.
Not haughty, but we need to act like it and be like it.
Exactly. Thank you both. You're just a blessing to me. So cool. So, dear listening audience out there, God is calling each of us to a special place in His kingdom in these last days. I do believe these are the last days. We have had so many prophecies fulfilled in the last few years. People are talking about this now more than ever. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. And He absolutely, absolutely wants you to become all you can be in Him. He has responsibilities for you to carry out. He's got a life plan for you, and that is to become the harvest hand that He wants you to be. And it's time for us to drop the things that keep us from becoming all He would have us be. And those things, a lot of times, are attitudes. They are areas of unforgiveness. They're areas of bitterness and anger. There are areas where we have held on to past hurts and held on and nursed them and caused them to become worse as the years went by. God is calling a people who will realize they are chosen by God and chosen. I'm reading again, 1 Peter 2:9. You are the ones chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do His work. And to speak out for Him and tell others of the night and day difference He made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Bill, I want you to get track number 3 ready again. People need the Lord. Dear ones out there, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope at any time for a service, Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. We want you to come and be a part of what God is doing. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good friends and co-workers, Connie Farmer, Madeline Ercolano, here in the studio live on September 11th, 2011. God bless you. People need the Lord. We'll see you next week at 4 o'clock on this station. People need the Lord.